As I was going through this week, and I was going to preach this last week, but the Lord changed my mind. But I feel that today I need to go back to this message. I feel led to do so. I know today is Mother's Day. A lot of times I preach a Mother's Day message, but not this morning. Because there's something that we need to understand. How important it is that our lives get right with Jesus. Bottom line. I was listening this morning, and I was listening to Dr. Merritt, and I always like to listen on Sunday morning. Had a little inspiration, you know, to come to church and preach. I listened to a couple of sermons on Saturday night by different preachers. It was interesting when he talked about Mother's Day. He said there's always questions that he would ask yourself, you know. And you know yourself, when you were growing up, your mother would do something, right? And you did something wrong, the first thing that she would tell you is, wait till your father gets home. Amen? You remember those days? And then you worried all day long. When Dad came home, it was all over with. And the problem was the fact that she made you worry all day, but when he got home, she never told him anything. So, you know, you're in a dilemma no matter how you looked at it. And then you'd do things. She said, well, why did you do that? And you'd look at it and go, because I felt like it. And next thing you know, you get a spanking because you felt like it, right? And you say, well, why'd you do that? And she'd say, because I felt like it. Amen. You know, that's our lives that we live today. But the problem we have in the world today is this. We are not teaching and training our children in the way they should go when they grow up. We've lost the concept of who's in charge, okay? My question to you is, who's in charge of the family? Mothers and fathers, amen? 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 What about the rest of you back there in the back got kids, huh? Amen? Yeah, they're not in charge of you. But sometimes we act like they are in charge, right? Because we bow down, we cow down and say, little Johnny or little Susie can have their way because, you know, what? Because I feel so sorry for them. Let me tell you what. As soon as they find out where you are, they wrap you right around that little finger, and they know how far they can push you and how far you can go. That's the life that they live. Well, this morning in this text is going to talk about some things that just relate to adults the same way. Because we have a tendency that we do not listen as we should to what Jesus tells us in His Word. We have a tendency to walk away and not to get involved like we should in a relationship with Him. If you think about today in James chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, we're going to talk about danger of being a close friend with the world and being a close friend of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need more of, is being drawn closer to Him. And the central truth in this passage here talks about friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Why is the world in such hostility towards God? Because we've lost sight of who God is, who Jesus is, and what the Holy Spirit does for us. We've lost that insight. And we war within ourselves because of that. And we'll continue to do that. If you would look with me to the chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, I want to read something before I get into the text. It said this, but the wisdom which is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, it says, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. It was very disturbing this morning when I was listening to the news for a little bit, where they had an imam that was in Congress giving a prayer. And as I listened to this guy preach, I mean, have a prayer, right, which was written out, he read the thing, it wasn't nothing off the cuff, as we say. He started talking against the nation, started talking against Israel, and started talking all this crazy stuff, you know, in our Congress, right? And what came out of all of this was this. This was what caught me, was how subtle it is right now, how these other countries are moving into our country, how they're moving in and setting up their shop, and we're so blinded by what's going on in the world around us, we don't see it happening today. Before long, we're going to be a nation that does not have a Christian heritage about it. We're going to have everything else and every flavor except for Jesus Christ. Unless we as individuals understand the importance of putting Christ first in your life and living for what He means to us, telling people about Jesus Christ, we're going to see this world continue to filter and go the other way. I'll guarantee you, I'm standing here this morning in front of you, in 30 more years, you will not recognize this country. If I live 30 more years, I'll be almost 100, which I don't think I'm going to make, and by then I wouldn't care anyway. Amen. You know? But the fact is, we've got to be very careful in how things are happening so that our children coming up, our grandchildren and their children all coming up, will not fall into the same trap that I see us falling into today. And we're falling into a trap. You remember when the devil went into the garden? He did not go in there with a hammer and hit him on the head and say, you need to do this. He was subtle. is very direct in what he said. And I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, but I want to reiterate it here because I want us to realize something. The devil works in a subtle way. He comes in, he sneaks in, and he sets up shop. And before you know it, you're caught with him. And he's got his arms and tentacles wrapped all around you, and you have nowhere to go to. There's always somewhere to go. And that's back to Jesus Christ. Turn your heart to him. So as we look at this text this morning, I want you to realize something. There's so much hypocrisy in the world, so much hatred in the world today, that we need to get our lives turned around and put it first place with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. Please stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's Word this morning. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Then he said this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence," he says, "even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, ye desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight in war," says, "yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." In other words, you have the wrong motive. The wrong motive when you ask God for something. "And that ye may what? Consume it upon your lust, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity," it says, "or an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he said, "But he giveth more grace." Now remember this. "More grace, wherefore," he saith, "God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto" who? "The humble." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would just come and sit alongside us this morning. That we would feel your presence in this service and know that you're alive and well. Because I felt your presence every day. I feel it every day. And I know, Father, that you walk with us every day. But we need to listen every day to what you tell us and how we live our lives. So give us the opportunity this morning to really get into the message, to see where we are and what we need to change to make ourselves better Christians, strong and abiding with you. Be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever had a conflict with somebody? We all have, haven't we? Somewhere along the way, we've had a conflict, right? When you get into a conflict, the first thing you do, you get mad, you get upset, and you don't want to have anything else to do with them. Is that right? Because most of the time, they're right, you're right, nobody's wrong. Amen. That's the way we live our lives today. The Bible teaches us there is conflict in the world today with others. I don't care if it's family or somebody you had a friendship with or whatever it may be. We are in a conflict today. If you read this text, you'll find that the Greek tense of this passage I read to you, the first verse, if you go back to the Greek, this is how it reads. "Whence quarrels and whence conflicts among you?" That's what it says. In other words, he says, you have a conflict, you have a conflict, you have a conflict, but how do you overcome conflicts? You overcome conflicts by seeking what Jesus Christ would have done when he was here and living his life upon the earth. He had conflict after conflict. People didn't like him. They despised him, hated him. They put him on a cross of Calvary so that he would die for the sins of mankind. But they really didn't understand that. And even today, the people over in Israel still don't understand why Christ came. They're still looking for the Messiah. You and I know through God's Word the Messiah came. He lived, he died, he rose again, and now sits in heaven with God the Father to make that intercession for us. But as long as we're here, and as long as the devil has reign upon the earth as we know it, he calls it the prince and the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. He's the one that's controlling things, it seems like. And he's doing a very good job of controlling the world today. There's more wars, there's more conflict, there's more ups and downs, ins and outs, there's fighting everywhere that you look. People don't love one another anymore like they should. They don't care about people anymore. You know, we look at the murder rates today, we look at the rapists today, we look at all the problems that we're having in the world today, and we wonder to ourselves, where is God? God is still in the same place. God is still on the throne. God is still in control of us today. He's still in control of the world today. But sometimes we forget that, I think. Even though we're going through the conflicts we go through, the Bible says that we would go through conflicts in life. And as a Christian, when I got saved, the first thing I thought about, boy, life is sure going to be simple. Amen. Doesn't happen that way. I've had more conflicts as a saved person than I felt like I had when I was lost. You want to know why? Because the devil wasn't concerned when I was lost because he already had me. But as soon as I found Christ and Christ came into my life, the next thing I know, I've got somebody working against me now, and that was the devil. And he still does it every single day. And I know tomorrow when I get up in the morning or today, this afternoon, after I preach this message, he's going to be knocking on my door and saying, okay, now you said all those words. This is what I'm going to do for you this week. So I have to be on guard, too, because I'm warring not against just the world I live in, but I'm warring against the principalities. I'm warring against the Satan that tries to run this world and control the world. And we have to overcome those things, and you can only overcome them by putting Christ first in your life, because you can stand fast and firm. You remember Jesus when he went into the wilderness? He was tempted time and time again, three different times. And what did he say? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God in any way, shape, or form. He said it over and over again. Why? Because he wanted the devil to understand something. You may want me to do things against my Heavenly Father, but you don't have enough power over me to do it. How many times do we surrender to the devil? How many times do we just fall flat down and say, I give up? My friend, never surrender to him. Always stand fast and firm on what you believe in God's Word, that Jesus Christ is a sinless Son of God, that you as a Christian have God living in you through the Holy Spirit, and you shall not let the devil do what? Invade your life. Because when you open the door and let him in, all you're trying to do is let him destroy you and your Christian walk. And he can do it very, very easily. It says in this verse here, there are many wars. They said, come hence, even of your lust at war in your members, right? We have a tendency to lust after things in life, don't we? I like what Johnny's got over here. I like what Bob's got over there. I like what so-and-so's got over here. You know, we like to lust after other things. What is he talking about here? Same thing. We like to lust after what people have. Let me tell you what. Lust of the world will only hurt you. Because he said what? Lust of the eyes, the pride of life, but all these things do what? And lust of the flesh do what? They destroy you. You can read it over in John. 1 John, it talks about it in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. You have to understand something. Everything that we do in this life is to uplift Jesus Christ, not to downtrodden him in any way. But what does the devil want you to do? He wants you to turn away from him and turn to him. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and your heart is truly right with Jesus Christ, you'll do everything that you can to keep the devil out of your life. Yes, he will tempt you. He'll do everything in his life to draw you away from Jesus. But you can stand strong and firm to know that Christ lives in you and you can overcome any obstacle in this world. And that's what we need to do. Look at verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and said desire to have. Can and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, it says. Yet ye have not because ye do what? Ye ask not. Have you ever asked God for something and he didn't give it to you? Did you get upset? Huh? Sure you do. I do. Lord, I want this thing today. You know? Remember when you were growing up and you went to the store and your mom would take you shopping with her or something, you know? What's the first thing you wanted to do? Run to the toy section as a kid. And you'd run to the toy section and what'd you do? You picked up a toy you liked, you brought it right back to your mom and said, can I have this? Can I have this? And she'd say, no, you can't have that. Put it back. It costs too much. And the whole time that you're there, you're doing one thing. Please, 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 mom, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? You're doing it the whole time at the store. Some of you moms back here understand that, don't you? Huh? Yeah, how many of you grandmothers back there when they wanted to give it to them anyway? Huh? Go ahead, raise your hand, Dom. I know you're back there. Yeah, don't we do that? Why? Because grandkids are great because you can give them anything they want and you're going to send them home. Amen. Yeah. But that's how we live our lives today because we want something. When you go to the Lord to ask for anything, what do you ask for? You ask for more wisdom, understanding what God has for you to do, to help you through each day, to strengthen you each day. You know, these are things I look at. It's not the materialistic things of life. I look at the things that what will help me to help you, to benefit you too, by the things that he teaches me that I can teach you. It's through the life that you build with him. But that's not the world we live in today. The world we live in today wants you to do what? Take, 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 and take. And if you can't get that, what's the first thing you do? Today they just kill you off and get rid of you. That's what they do. Many years ago when I was in Louisiana, I'll never forget it. You've heard me say this before. Many years in Louisiana, I remember a man that got shot in downtown Louisiana, okay? Right there in New Orleans. And you know what he got shot for? 25 cents. He lost his life because of a quarter. That's all he got robbed of because that's all that he had. It doesn't make a difference how large, how small the money is or the item that it is. If somebody wants it bad enough and you got it and they want to take it from you and you won't give it to them, they will take your life. They'll do that. You say, well, how can that be? Because of the hatred people have for one another because they want what somebody else has got. If more people wanted what we had in Jesus Christ, how much better off would we be? You see, that's what they should want more of. Jesus living in us, Christ living in us, the relationship that we built, that's what we need more of today. Yes, we war, we fight within ourselves. Why? Because I have this fleshly body. You know, people say, well, preachers, you're not supposed to fail and fall and fall and all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you what, that's a lie straight from hell. Because I can fail just like Billy fails. Just like Warren and just like the rest of you, I fail just like you do. Why? Because I have my own mindset. I have my own way of doing things. If I sometimes want to do something that I shouldn't be doing, and sometimes I have to think two or three times, but sometimes I still do what I shouldn't do. Remember Paul, what did he say? I do the things I should do, the things I should do, I don't do. And he said, why? He said, because sin dwelleth in me. That's the problem we have, that sin lives in us. Because of the fleshly body. Wouldn't it be great when you got saved and the Spirit come to live in you? He took all of that away too and you didn't have to deal with it? But that's not going to happen until you die and go to heaven, amen? You're still going to have a problem with fighting internally and fighting outside of the body. Why? Because that's our nature. Our nature has always been to fail. Why? Because of the garden. Well, you and I as Christians have got one thing in common. And this is important. Jesus Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave to give us victory. And you and I can overcome anything this world throws at us because Christ lives in us through the Spirit that indwells us. I can live my life to the fullest because of that. Also, he said this in verse 3. Look what he said. He said, ye ask, receive not, because ye ask amiss. He said, you had the wrong motive, that ye may what? Consume it upon your lust. Well, you got that conflict in your life today. Remember this. It goes back to one thing, conflict with others. But you have conflict with what I call S-E-L-F. What does that spell? Self, right? I have conflict with self every day. And I know that because of who I am. And friendship with the world, my friends, only creates conflict within yourself. We'll have that conflict. Now, if any of you don't have conflict in here, I'm going to tell you right now you got a problem. It means you're lying and you just don't know what conflict is. Because things come your way that you can't control. And when those things come your way that you can't control, the first thing you want to do is ask somebody else to help you control it. Amen? The one you need to go to is to ask the Lord to help you. But he said here, when you ask for things, you ask amiss. Why? He said, because your motive's not right. Why is your motive not right? Because your life is not right with Jesus Christ like it should be. That's when your motive is wrong. Because he should always be first in the things that you do and the life that you live today. Society today. Think about this for just a minute. Think about our society today. Okay? If we didn't have conflict in the world today, what kind of peace would we have? It would be the peace Jesus said that passes all understanding. You know, we wouldn't understand it. What is total peace today? We don't understand total peace. Well, I have peace within me because of him. I have peace because of the Spirit. I have peace because I can sit down and read my Bible. I have peace because I can pray and seek the Lord's guidance. I have peace when I talk to other people about Jesus. And even if they reject it, I still got peace because I got the message out anyway. See, God gives me that peace that passes all understanding. And he builds that relationship with me that I should be building every day to help others in the life that we live. So we have those internal conflicts within us. But my friends, you can overcome that. Because of Jesus Christ was the overcomer. And he will give you a better life to live than you ever thought before. Now, if you look at this text here this morning, you say, well, my goodness, you know, think about verse 4. This is the one that really comes home, right? Ye adulterers, adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity or an enemy of God? Whosoever therefore will be friend of the world is the enemy of God? Have you ever really had an enemy? Somebody that you was a good friend, maybe, and they just turned on you like that. Have you ever had that happen to you? Sure you have. Yeah. Have you spoke to them lately? Wouldn't say a word to them. Don't like them. Don't care about them. You know, what does that teach us? What did Jesus say? He said, turn the other cheek, right? Only problem is, this is where I have a problem. You've heard me say, if you turn the other cheek, what do you do after you turn the other cheek? My old saying has always been, knock them out, you know. No, but what do you do? He said, you forgive. What did Jesus tell Peter? You forgive them 70 times 7. Well, that's 490 times. Yeah, but what he meant was this. You continue. You do your part, and let God take care of the rest of it. See, that's the problem we have. If somebody does us wrong, instead of saying praying for them, we have, what do? We get mad, and we have conflict. And let me tell you, I've said this, and I'll say it over and over again. Those who anger you control you. Remember that? Those who anger you will control you. And they do, because that's all you think about is what's happened and what they've done to you. So you have to realize something here. If you don't want to be controlled by anger, have your heart right with Jesus. Get your thought pattern where it should be and say, Father, forgive them, you know. Forgive me for feeling the way I do. Help me to overcome this issue and move on. Because all you're going to do is sit there and fester over it. What happens? The devil just sit there looking at the Lord going, look at him. Look at old Billy over there. He's festering, boy. I got it where I want him, Lord. Look at him. You know? Him and the keys are over there. He's grinning from ear to ear, right? I got it where I want him. And this is what he does, you know? And he gloats about it. You remember Job in the Bible? When you go back to Job, it said Job was a man that cheweth evil. I always love that word because it means to avoid. Why didn't he write that in there? You know, got a big word. And what happened? Satan went and took everything that he had. Everything, except for his wife, you know, the nagger, they called her. She nagged him about everything. And the problem was this. His friends even told him, what sin do you have in your life, Job, that's caused the problem that God has given you all this hatred in your life and all the things that are wrong with you and everything else? And what did he do? He said, Lord, give it. Lord, take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of us can say that? And he did not let that bother him. Why? Because he knew who was with him. God took his family, took everything, his wealth and everything, but what did he give him? He gave him a new beginning at the end of the book. Why? Because he gave him back twice what he had before. But he kept his eyes focused on Jesus, on God Almighty. You see, you can overcome those conflicts, but your focus has to be where it needs to be. And you can do that. Even his friends that turned against him said, Job, what sin do you have in your life? Look at the problems that you got. What did you do against God? He said, nothing. Oh, yes, Job, but you did. No, I didn't. And it goes on and on through the whole text if you read the book of Job. Conflicts come. That self-conflict that you have within yourself. But when you look at this part here about being an enemy of God, I don't want God to be my enemy for nothing. For nothing. I want to have the right relationship. I want to have that loving relationship. Israel failed God over and over again. And they failed because they would not listen. They wouldn't look at what he was doing. And the only thing they had on their mind is this. I'll do it my way. And you know the song, I'll Do It My Way, don't you? Frank Sinatra sang it. Elvis sang it. A whole lot of people sang it, right? And they did it their way. But I hope they went the right way. Amen. That's what it comes down to. What is your life made up of? What are you doing in your life today? How are you living it today? Well, look at the next verse. Do ye think that Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? It should never lust after anything. What is envy? Huh? Having what somebody else has got? You envy. Right? You lust after, you envy after, you want it. Be satisfied with what God has given to you. Be satisfied with where you live, what he's provided. Be satisfied. Just because John down the street's got something, a Cadillac car or something that you want, don't worry about it. He gave you a Volkswagen, that's what he wants you to have, amen. You know? But we don't see it that way, do we? It goes back to one thing. We'd like to be just like the Joneses are, don't we? We want to have everything just like everybody else. Well, the world is not made up that way. And they suddenly lay something out on my political side this morning is this. I don't get political too much. Nothing is free. That's all I got to say. It cost somebody something. Your salvation was not free. It cost Jesus Christ his life on the cross of Calvary. Don't ever think free is free because it's not free because it cost you something. It's just like the world today in capitalism. I like capitalism, don't you? You're socialist, bye, you can leave. You know you've got to have capitalism to have socialism. You understand that? You got to have one to have the other. Because if you ain't making the money, these ain't going to get it over here. You see what the world's trying to do to us today? They're trying to disrupt us, cause us a war within ourselves, to think, you know, that we can't think anymore for ourselves. We can't make right or wrong decisions, you know, for ourselves. Let me tell you what, I'd rather make a wrong decision and make it on my own and have somebody tell me that I made a wrong decision, wouldn't you? When I want to make a right decision, I want to say, thank you, Lord, let me make the right decision. You know, we're going to fail every day, but the thing is this, we can overcome any failure in life because of Christ. But he said here, don't envy those things somebody else has. But he said, they give us more grace, he does. I'm glad I serve a God of grace. His grace, remember Paul? The Lord said, my grace is sufficient enough for you, even though you got a problem. He said, oh, I got this thorn in my flesh. Oh, three times I went to the Lord. He didn't take care of it and all that. Sometimes the Lord will give you those pains and aches and all that kind of stuff to remember who he is. To help you get through those situations. How many of y'all feel perfect every day? Not me. you have aches and pains when you get up in the morning? You wonder where the next one's going to come tomorrow when you get up? You know, there's always something going along with you, right? The older you get, the more you're going to feel the aches and pains, right? Sure you will. That's the part of life because you're getting older. Then you think back and your mind says you're 18. Your body says, no, I'm 75. Forget it. You can overcome any obstacle that comes your way to remember one thing. The older you get, take time. Don't rush like you used to. Slow down just a little bit. And remember, God's grace will get you through what it comes down to. Then he said this. But he said, giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to who? Humble. Humble. Now, I know a lot of you don't like to be humble, amen? Huh? When you act humble, everybody looks at you and says, what's wrong with that person over there? And you just say, well, he's humble. Or she's humble. Now, we don't like that, do we? Because it's almost like a word that's really, to us, is demeaning. Because when we're humble, you know, you have to act a certain way. No, you don't. You act with love and care and concern for somebody else. That's to be humble. And that's to know that God's grace is sufficient for you. And you can live that day in and day out. Well, you know what's interesting about James in this text right here? Because of warring and envy and all this and self and lust and things like that. The adulterers and adulteresses of the world today. We know that's happening everywhere we look. It's all over the place. But there's one thing that James did that gives me hope of a better day. And that's the next four verses I'm going to read to you. I want you to look at them starting in verse number 8. Verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you. He says, out of all he told us just in those first few verses, he comes right into verse 7 and says this, submit yourselves to who? To God. Resist the devil, and he will. He didn't say maybe, might, hope, so, and all that. He said he will what? Flee from you. Because what? When you call upon Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for you, he cannot stand in the presence of Jesus Christ spread blood for us and his shed blood for us. He has to run and get away from it because it did something. It defeated him on the cross of Calvary, and he didn't like defeat because Jesus defeated him over and over again. Then he says, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You remember Herod, don't you? Remember Herod over there when Jesus was going to be crucified? And you remember the Pharisees, everybody said, crucify him, crucify him. And you remember what he did? He washed his hands of it. He says, I don't want nothing to do with this. Is that what he's saying here? He's saying this. Cleanse yourself from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, he says, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. In other words, he says, you two-faced. You talk under this side of your mouth, and you talk under this side of your mouth. He said, you draw nigh to God. He'll help you through this. Clean up your act. That's the easiest way to tell you. Clean up your act that you got, and you'll be better off. That's what he tells us to do. Clean yourself up, he says. And that's what we are to do today. Clean up our act today. But James said something else too. Be afflicted and mourn and weep in verse 9, he said. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, when I studied this in college, it was interesting because, you know, when you get to mourning, right, what do you think about? I'm sad. Well, what he talks about in this part of Scripture is this. I want you to mourn like somebody has died. That's what it means. I want you to mourn like somebody has died. He said, you better mourn over your sins like it's a death in your life because he said it will what consume you. That's what he's saying. And that's a word that stands out because when we mourn for somebody who's passed away, my friend, he says this, you better mourn for the sins in your life. You need to know why you're doing this. Because what? Because you can turn all of that mourning into what? Laughter and joy. Even through the heaviness that you may feel, you can overcome that and become what I want you to be. And last of all, he said this, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will kick you out the front door. Amen. What does it say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You see what he says? He said you can go through all this conflict in your life. You draw near to God, and this is what he taught us. Continue to draw near to him, he said. Yes, there's conflict. Yes, there's things that are not right in life. And we know that. We have our ups and downs and ins and outs, as I said before. But the bottom line is this. Remember to humble yourself in the sight of a God that we love and we know, and He will definitely lift you up and put you on the right foundation in Jesus Christ. But you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to pray and ask forgiveness of sin. You got to pray and ask Jesus Christ to do what? To come into your life. And let the Spirit fill you where you can start to live that life that's whole and alive today. And you can only do it through admitting that you're a sinner and you need God's grace. Because you can't save yourself. I can't save you. I can't do anything for you but tell you what Jesus says. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't care what kind of conflict you're going through, what illness you may have or anything else. There's only one person that ever lived that can help you overcome that. And His name is Jesus. I think you need to look within yourself to see where you are this morning. And if you cannot leave this place and say to yourself, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you've got a big problem. And the problem is, if you die today, you will not go to heaven. Hell is real, my friend. Hell is full of people today that rejected Jesus Christ. Hell will be full tomorrow, whoever dies that don't know Christ, or today also. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day God's door is open. Today is the day that you need to walk there and open the door and let Him come into your life to make a change for you. You see, it's in your ballpark. But if you don't, God help you when your final day comes. When it's over, it's over.